I know some of you have heard the story of Melchizedek. It's gone in my Bible study, I'm sure. How many of you have heard, at least heard of Melchizedek? Oh, good. We're getting better. We're going to talk about that a little bit today because this is integral to our understanding. Our readings are sort of confusing today, aren't they? You know, I always look for the threads that are in the readings. And this one was a little tough today, okay? Because in the Old Testament, we're actually talking about the gospel of the new covenant. In the Psalms, we're looking at staying in the commandments, in the law, not the gospel. The epistle is a high priest chosen in the order of Melchizedek. And in the gospel, we're talking about James and John want to go with Jesus and be, you know, given special accounts. But little did they know what this meant. Well, I'm going to focus on two points today. The first of all, what it means to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then the second one is going to be about what James and John are experiencing and how that rides in here. You've heard me talk about the call, all right? You know, I am called to the congregation. I'm not hired by the congregation. What in the heck does that mean? Who put me here? God. All right, so the call comes from God. Okay, it's not from man. Well, that's sort of hard to understand. Remember when Bob Newhart used to do the telephone? Nice clean stuff, you know. Now, I'm going to use the telephone today. Now, the thing is, if I did it like Newhart, it should be a rotary dial, you know. God? Hey, how you doing today? You want me to do what? Well, let's see. I don't know if I can do that. Is there anybody else who can do this? Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we hold off on that, and I'll do it in a few days, and we'll see how I'm feeling and see if I can get this done for you. Is that okay? Okay. Bye. Can't you just imagine that happening? You know, it's one of those things. God doesn't do it that way, but if he did, can't you imagine that? Well, James and John wanted to be called, didn't they? They wanted to go with the glory of Jesus. But that'd be a little bit hard about that, because we know where Jesus was going, even though they didn't. I mean, he just told them that he was going to go be flogged and beaten and killed. Oh, okay, can we go with you? You know, it's going right over their head. Well, folks, we're going to go back to the beginning of the Bible this morning. Should we all get on the phone and say, good morning? It's one of those things. Anyway, let's go back to Genesis 14. And we're going to talk about Abraham. Now, let me read you about four verses from here. After his return from the deed of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveb. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, because he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. All right, who established the Jewish religion? Moses, right? Ten Commandments, delivered his people. So what religion does Abraham belong to? Or Abram at this point, he hasn't been had his name changed. It's one of those things, interesting concept, isn't it? Now, there's no Jewish religion, but yet Melchizedek is a priest of the Most High God that Abraham respects, loves, and follows to the point where he gives him a tenth. He pays a tithe to this priest. How can he do that if there's no religion? Now, I know you never thought of it that way, have you? Okay. You know, the problem is we read the Bible, but sometimes when we read it, you can read the words, but you don't understand the concepts. And I've talked about that a lot in here. Especially in the Old Testament, when you're looking at the way Hebrew is written in a circular manner, not a linear manner. You know, so many times you've got to look at it circular rather than linear. All right, so we have Abraham that went to Melchizedek, okay, who is the king of Salem. What does Salem mean in, Jerusalem, but what does that actually mean? Who said that?
I did.
Oh, you done good. All right, but what does Salem mean? And what does that mean? Peace. All right, so we have the king of peace, who is a priest of the Most High God. Now, we follow this, and it's very interesting because Abraham actually recognizes this before there was a religion. So he knows he's representing God. All right, so let's go to our psalm today, because our psalm, we talked that you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so David thought that was important enough that he wrote a psalm about it, didn't he? All right, why is it so important? Well, let's look at Hebrews, because we had a reading in Hebrews today. But remember, I've told you before, when we take readings out of context, you know, it's like Paul Harvey's, the rest of the story. We don't have that rest of the story, so we're going to look at this today. Okay? And this is in Hebrews 7. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. He continues to be a priest forever. Now let's see. He doesn't have a father and a mother. He doesn't have a genealogy. Okay, he's the King of Peace. Who is this starting to sound like? Jesus. Okay, let's go on. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. So it wasn't a tenth of what he had. Remember, they had just fought a battle, and they had sacked a city. So they gave him a tenth of what was in the city. So we're talking more than a couple of bucks, right? I mean, hey, this is pretty good haul. But he thought it was important enough to give Melchizedek a tenth of what they had. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are also descended from Abraham. But yet, when we look at that, you know, the priestly class and the Jewish religion came from the tribe of Levi. All right, so as we look, these are priests. But yet, this is the religion that Moses established. It's not the one that Melchizedek established. But yet, Melchizedek was given the tithe, even though he's not part of the descendants of Levi. Now, that's a pretty special relationship, isn't it? Okay? What does he do then? He blesses Abraham. Blesses. And in Hebrews 7, verse 7, it is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. All right, so Abraham is treating Melchizedek as though he's the one that's important. And Melchizedek turns around as the superior and blesses his inferior. Who does that sound like? Jesus. Okay? Yeah. I know. He's going beyond it. Well, right, we're going to go there. We're tying all this together. Okay. Okay, well, I'm sorry if I'm confused. Well, that's all right. I'll talk slower then. I shouldn't do that. For those of you who are visiting today, I was a college professor for 30 years. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is the way I like to do my sermons. I don't like to preach at you. I like to talk with you. Okay. Because I think, you know, as I ask questions, you get more. Okay. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. All right, stop and think about that. He was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. All right, how do you meet somebody before they're born? That argument's being made, isn't it? Okay? And who wrote the book of Hebrews? No. If you notice in the Bible, it says, always refers to the author of the book of Hebrews. It's not Paul. Good question. Who said it? Who is it? Well, I'm keeping you on. Who is it, Priscilla? It was probably Priscilla. You got to understand, this is Ephesus. And in Ephesus, they had a real thriving church run by two people. Priscilla, who's a woman. Yeah, awful. And Apollo. Okay, but he was by Apollonius. But we do know that of the two, the one who could write was Priscilla. Okay? Now, they made tents for a living. Who stayed and made tents with them for 3 years? Paul. You don't think Paul had something to do with this? At least teaching? Okay, but it wasn't written by him, it was written. I really do think it was written by Priscilla. Oh, you mean we had a book of the Bible written by a woman? Why not? Okay. But you know, there are many brothers who disagree with me on that, but I really do think it was. But that's getting off of it. Now, here's what the author of Hebrews does. Jesus is compared to Melchizedek. That's right out of the Bible, okay? Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? So the Aaronic priesthood, and the one before that is the Melchizedek priesthood. Which one's higher? Melchizedek, okay. Why? Because of Jesus. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there's necessarily a change in the law as well. Does that change the law with Melchizedek? No, it's with a later one. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at that altar. Well, how can there be a change in the law before there was the law of Moses? Been talking about that, haven't I? I think the author answers this question. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. So Jesus is a priest, you know, prophet, priest, and king. You can come to my Wednesday services. That's been the theme that I've been preaching on. Prophet, priest, and king, but coming before the Aaronic priesthood of the Jews. And this becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. Why is he in the likeness of Melchizedek? Because he is. It's the official stance of the Lutheran Church that Melchizedek is the pre-incarnate Christ. Okay, there's more stuff here. There's actually 11 things in here where the author of Hebrews compares Melchizedek to Christ. I think I've done enough on that today. But, folks, when we look at this, why is this important to us today? This is where I'm going to answer your question. Okay. Is Jesus always up at the right hand of God? He's also at the left. Where else is he? For with angels and archangels and all the hosts of heaven, we join together to bless his holy name. Sound familiar? Now, we don't do that one all the time, okay? But that's the introduction to the Sanctus and the Mass. That's what we have before the Lord's Supper. That means holy. Because this is the one time where all the angels in heaven, Jesus, and us come together to worship God. It's not just us. You know, I saw a picture of this one time where the clouds are here above the altar, and Jesus is there with all the hosts of heaven, okay, having communion with us at the same time. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Okay. But now let's look at this for a second, because I want to go into this a little bit more. James and John. James and John were feeling the call. They wanted to serve. And in Greek, what does the word servant mean? Come on, I've preached on that here so many times. Slave. Because remember, the word doulos means both slave and servant. So if you're a servant to someone, you're a slave to someone, right? And what does Jesus say to us at the end of the gospel reading? Because the Son of Man has come to serve and to be a slave. I mean, he says them both the same thing. You go in the Greek, it's the same word. It's just whoever translated it, translated both servant and slave. Make sense? You with me on this? Okay. So when we are looking at the pre-incarnate Christ, okay, Melchizedek, he's down on earth, isn't he? So Jesus can come down to earth at any time, right? What happened if Jesus and the apostles walked through our door? Yeah, I think I would too. You know,
oh my God. Longer service.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you a quick story. When I was in Texas, I always participated with the Missouri Synod pastors. And we had one that was an ultra conservative, and not only that, but had a misunderstanding of what the confession said. And so we always had communion together. Of course, I'm not an LCMS pastor, am I? We even had communion at my church. Heathens, LCMC. Guys didn't mind, but we had one stick in the mud. And so I asked him that question. Actually, I stole that question from Peggy one time. If Jesus and the apostles came through that door, they're not card-carrying members of your congregation, would you give them communion? Well, I'd have to sit down with them and ask. Eloy Gonzalez was the vice president, first vice president of Texas District, and he did this. You know, looked at him and said, you do what? You know, law. What are we here for? Gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation that he paid for on that cross for us. The order of Melchizedek is that gospel. It is that salvation, isn't it? You know, so we start looking at that. Folks, Jesus could be here today. And I mean, not only, you know, spiritually, you know, because I always add one more. We got 33 here today, so we got 34 when you count Jesus. How do we know that one time one of our visitors wasn't Jesus coming in? We don't. How do you know that sometimes at Walmart you haven't met Jesus? You don't. Will you get out of my way, you blanky blank? Bless you, my son. You don't. Okay. But what are we asked to do? We're asked to serve. And I think that's what we're looking at as the thread through all these readings today. Isn't it? Okay. And we've talked about it. For our visitors, we do this Jesus Loves You ministry where we provide sandwiches for the homeless. If you notice, there's a thing in there reminding you because we're doing it in May and June this year. Okay? And we provide 200 sandwiches to people that are hungry. You know, we don't, you know, pat ourselves on the back or anything like that. We do this as a service to the community, which is what we're doing. But the thing is, to serve is what's important. Okay? Because when we serve, we're being Christ-like. Isn't that what he wants from us? I think so, too. And so when I look at this order of Melchizedek, when Christ walked among us, before there was any religion, but yet Abraham knew him as a priest of God. What a blessing to know that he's always been with us before there was a God. And you know, I've talked about it in here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And God sent his spirit out over the waters. The Trinity has been with us since the beginning. Jesus was with the Father before creation. The Holy Spirit was with the Father before creation. They've always been there. But yet we know the Holy Spirit works with us every day. Yes, that's sanctification. Okay, we are sanctified and kept in the true faith by the Holy Spirit. Okay, but it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't with us either. Isn't today an interesting day? You know, plus the thing is, I really have enjoyed reading about Melchizedek. But the thing is, the apostles knew this too. The author of the book of Hebrews knew this too. And I've been talking for 22 minutes. I probably better be quiet. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessing of the order of Melchizedek, when we know that Jesus is with us, has been with us, and will be with us, as it was, as it is now, and as it ever shall be. Lord, thank you for this, and thank you for your concern about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.